السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. دس از مائی نائنتھ لیکچر آن دا ٹاپک آف توحید اینڈ ٹرینیٹی, اینڈ دس از آلسو گوئنگ ٹو بی مائی سیکنڈ ٹو لاسٹ لیکچر آن دس ٹاپک. سو فار آئی ہیو ڈسکسڈ 8 آرگیومنٹس دیٹ ریفیوٹ the Trinity from an Islamic point of view. And the 8th argument, which I discussed in my last lecture, talked about how belief in the Trinity causes us to have a logical problem of dividing God's attributes. It's not possible to divide God's attributes because, for instance, God is all-powerful, right? He is the most powerful being. Now, if God is the most powerful being, how can there be another person who is also the most powerful being? That is not possible. There's a logical problem here, because you can only have one all-powerful. If there are two, then they're not, you know, together they might be all-powerful, but you cannot have each one of them as all-powerful. And the problem with Trinity is that it states that each one of the persons in the Godhead is all-powerful, and each one of them has all the attributes that God has, right? So each one of the persons in the Godhead is fully God. That is what the Trinity says, and that is a logical problem. And so that was the 8th argument. But the 9th argument that in our thesis by Ataul Mujib Rashi Sahib, he has categorized a 9th argument, but that argument is not too distinct. In fact, the 10th and 11th argument that I'm going to talk about are also not too distinct. It's a flow of the same concept, that there is a logical problem with these three persons in the Godhead. So maybe what Ataul Mujib Rashi Sahib is doing here is trying to show us different aspects of the same argument. So there's a logical problem with the doctrine of the Trinity, and now we have different aspects of that problem that he's trying to show based on the writings of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. So the 9th argument he's talking about, based on the writings of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, that Trinity causes a tension in the attributes of God. There's a tension. Is there some weakness in one of the persons for which you need the other two persons? Right? You would need three persons if there was some weakness or something lacking in one of the persons. Then only you would need the other two persons. Why do you need those two other persons? That is another question. And that is actually the 11th argument that is part of our thesis here. What is the need? The 11th argument is, what is the need? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, what is the need? I mean, does one of them lack something that you need the other two? And so that is an argument. And an argument, and the argument that we're currently at, the 9th argument, is that there is tension between these attributes. And I gave the example earlier about God being all-powerful, right? Qadr-e-mutlaq, that is the Urdu. So all-powerful, how can you have three persons who are all-powerful? It doesn't make sense. And so that, again, is a flow of the same argument. I'm just trying to combine all these arguments into one. There's another argument, which is the 10th argument, that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states here. This is on page 148, if you're following the Urdu textbook for this course. It's on page 148. The 10th argument is that the logical result of combining these three persons is never stated in the Trinity. And the logical result is you have one great person, two great person, three great persons. You combine them into one greater person. What you're supposed to get is a greater being out of these three persons, right? But that is never asserted according to Christian belief. Each of the persons of the Godhead is completely God. Right, it's fully God, co-eternal, co-equal, co-substantial, and so if you combine the three, you're supposed to get a greater being. That is never asserted by Christian scholarship or Christian theologians. Why is that? Why can't we have that? Would be the logical thing, right? 1 plus 1 plus 1 is equal to 3. right? So that the power of three, right? One times one times one, that doesn't work because they're not multiplying into each other. They're not canceling each other out. They're actually adding to each other, right? And so if you have these three persons together, you're supposed to get a greater being. And that position is never taken by Christian theologians. And that is another argument that shows us a flaw in this idea about God. And I've already mentioned the 11th argument by the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and that is that belief in three gods is vain. It's pointless because where is the need? You know, does God need another person with him? You know, fully God? You know, if God the Father is fully God, why does he need God the Son? And if God the Son is fully God, why does he need God the Holy Spirit? Doesn't make sense. That's another problem with this doctrine. Then another problem that the promised Messiah, you know, these arguments are not, again, like I mentioned in my previous lecture also, these are not main arguments. These are supportive arguments or points of discussion, if you like, right? You shouldn't consider what I've talked about in this lecture so far should not be considered a main argument, but these are points to talk about, right? These are a few points. These are not, even though in Urdu we might say this is dalil, well, it is a sort of a dalil, it is sort of an argument, it is a sort of reasoning, but it's a point of discussion rather than a formal argument. Right? A formal argument would be that Jesus never claimed to be God. That's a formal argument for which you have proof. Jesus affirmed the oneness of God. That is a formal argument. These other points that we have been talking about in this lecture are just you know, supportive points of discussion. So argument number 12 is like a point of discussion is that why is there a need to have three different names for them? Right? You tell us that those are three persons and each person is fully God. So why do you say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Doesn't make sense. Even the naming structure does not make sense. I mean, usually the reason behind it is that Christians try to attribute different things to different persons and say, okay, God the Father has this role, God the Son has this role, especially when it comes to, you know, differentiating the fact that God the Son is the one who went and died for the sins of mankind and God the Father was not there, right? Which is another problem, actually. That's another logical problem. But anyways, this is the idea. And so this is a problem because if you are distinguishing between each one of them, it actually shows that there's a problem. There is a tension between these three, right? Which takes us back to the earlier argument. You know, why is there a need for this? Is there a tension between this? If there is tension, then this cannot be God because God has to be perfect. Right? If there's tension between these three persons, then there's a whole list of problems that we can get into. And so this is an argument that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has made. And so basically he has asked the question, why is there a need to do these kind of things? Why is there a need to bring these kind of distinctions in the persons? Then there is the 13th argument, and that is, again, all of these arguments are based on the human thinking, human mind, logic, and so this argument is that if this belief is to be judged by the human mind, then the human mind tells us that if Jesus Christ can be part of the Trinity, there could be other persons who can also be part of the Trinity. Why not? Quadrinity or five persons in the Godhead or six persons in the Godhead. Or maybe in the future we might have someone who says that I am God. Why can't that person be part of the Godhead? Right? Why does it have to start and end with Jesus as God the Son? Why can't there be other sons of God literally who are part of the Godhead? What makes our Christian friends so sure that Jesus is the only one? That is another problem that the human mind or simple logic presents with the concept of the Trinity. That brings me to the 14th argument or point of discussion with our Christian friends, and that is the problem of this idea of the Trinity not being a revealed idea. The Promise of Messiah alayhi salam actually quotes, and I'm not going to read the full quote in front which is in front of me right now, but he quotes a pastor from his time who went on to say that the idea of the three in one is a Platonian concept. There are some Greek philosophers who came before the time of Jesus, you know, 4th century BC, 3rd century BC, 2nd century BC. There's Socrates, and then there's a student of Socrates, which is Plato, and there's a student of Plato, which is Aristotle. And so these guys talked about God and talked about soul. And so I'm just mentioning this in this lecture that Promised Messiah Islam quoted a pastor who said that Plato talked about the three in one God. And so this idea is coming from Plato. It's not coming from God. And I cannot come up with a firm statement because I have not read Plato. Recently, I have picked up a few of his books and I am trying to read through them as much as I can. But so at this point, I cannot directly quote from Plato. But there's this idea, and the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has presented it in several of his books, including Fountain of Christianity, where he talks about how this is a Greek concept. The Trinity is a Greek concept. It's a philosophical idea. It is not based on revelation from God. And we have talked about in one of the earlier arguments, in one of the earlier lectures, how Jesus affirmed the oneness of God in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. And he never himself claimed to be God. And so how is it possible for us to start believing in something that Jesus never asserted, or to start believing in something that is not based on pure revelation from God, right? So I'm going to end it here. This is the few arguments which are based on logic. They run for a few pages in our textbook. And I've given you a very brief idea because these are supportive ideas, points of discussion, not main arguments that are something to think about when it comes to our Christian friends. So argument 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. These are a few that I have covered for this lecture. And in the next lecture, I will cover 15, 16, 17, and 18. And so there are a total of 18 arguments in refutation of the Trinity that Ataul Mujib Rashid Sahib has categorized based on the writings of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and we will inshallah finish them next time.